Good if it goes.
Ladies and gentlemen, happy holidays. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Feliz Navidad. All that good stuff. Welcome to the Good Podcast, where I'm joined here by the Pep Boys and the pissed off guy, Schwab. Speaking of pissed off, in this corner, at defensive back, Josh Norman, and in the red corner, wide receiver, Odell Beckham. Prentice, what were your thoughts on the fucking brawl for all that happened on the field Sunday?
I mean, it was silly. It was silly shit going back and forth. You know, I think that I thought from personally what I saw from seeing the game was Odell was struggling to make plays on Norman, and he got frustrated. And then when he tried to ear hole him, that was over and beyond. And then when you kind of hear the comments that Ray Lewis made.
Fuck Ray Lewis.
I want to say today or yesterday.
Him and Primetime.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying I agree with him, but when they were coming out and saying that Odell's manhood and all that other shit was being called out, it kind of gave you a picture of what was happening defender, before that game Sunday. Like, they were calling Odell the F word. And, well, yeah, and, I mean, to me, if I'm P-Jack, I'm playing, and somebody calls me that, I don't give a shit because I'm not gay. But for Odell, for him to be called that and for him to respond the way that he responded.
We are 2 minutes into a Christmas episode, and Prentice is accusing someone.
I don't know if that's
gay.
Necessarily true.
To me, like I said, I think that's the most telling thing of that whole situation. It was how Odell acted when they called him that. Like, if you're not gay, you don't care. You just like, whatever, bitch. I'm gonna score these touchdowns.
No, I mean,
come on.
I don't necessarily agree with what he said about Odell's only gonna get riled up there. By them calling him a faggot, if he really is a faggot. I mean, I can see why, you know, he would get, you know, be much more fired up if he was, but I don't think that just says to me, okay, Odell is definitely gay. Whether he is or he isn't, I could care less. But, you know, I think one of the underrated parts of this story, and this story just needs to go away because it's kind of overblown in my estimation. But if you look at the beginning of the game, the Giants' first drive, Odell cooked Norman. He blew right past him. Eli put a ball right in his hands that would have been a walk-in touchdown, and Odell point-blank dropped it. I mean, that's not something that we've seen from Odell Beckham at all. I mean, it could not have been any easier. That was a walk-in touchdown. I think that is what got Odell, you know, amongst the other things that were going on, that really got Odell fired up and pissed off, and that's a lot. That showed a lot of the frustrations in the rest of the day.
He's a top wide receiver. He's supposed to be thinking that that's all day. It's the thing about it now, because if I'm a corner from now on, I'm going at him. Every time I'm going at him, he exposed himself. He showed that you can get in my head and take me out of the game, because Odell been tearing it up all fucking year, especially the second half of the season, and they took him out of that damn game. Even when the Giants got back in the game, because they was getting blown the fuck out. And, I mean, he's getting personal fouls. What do you have, 3 or 4 personal fouls? And so now I can get into your head, make you cough up unnecessary penalty yards, and ultimately take your ass out of your elements. You don't tell my team up.
Odell made one mistake, in my opinion. He made one mistake, did one thing that crossed the line, and that was the headshot he took at Norman. But let's stop acting like Norman didn't instigate the majority of this. I mean, he's supposed to be
a defensive player.
Okay. So what's Beckham supposed to do? I mean, he was wrong for the headshot.
Shane, to dispute your point, like, I don't understand how he would get riled up from dropping that touchdown. Me, as a receiver, I'm thinking, I just beat this dude for a touchdown. I dropped it. I made the mistake. This is going to be easy. Like, yeah, I can do this all. I can do this all night.
I don't. Yeah, but you know who knows how he didn't know how many more chances to get like that. He knows how good Norman is. He dropped an easy touchdown.
Oh no! Oh no doubt. which is very sad to see, because here's a guy that when the game is on primetime TV, he is must watch TV. Like everybody tunes in to Odell Beckham, and he has this persona, or he has this, you know, the charisma where the media wants to see him, the commercials want him. You know, he's marketed himself where he can get endorsements and all this other stuff. And when he go out there and do what he did, they're going to paint him like a Terrell Owens. They're going to paint him like some of these knuckleheads that do silly shit, and they're going to write a bad rap on him. And I don't think he's that person. I just think the stuff they said to him before the game really bothered him. And
what y'all think about
whether it's true or not?
What y'all think about the whole bat situation, this whole bat gate?
Well, they've been doing that shit to intimidate people all year. So to make it an issue now, because everybody's on Odell's side because of his reaction when they're trying to paint the Panthers as like Ray Lewis and Deion. They were talking like, oh, well, don't leave. Like, Josh Norman's not at fault. Like, he's not at fault. He's a defender, and it's his job to make sure that Odell doesn't play well. And you could go about – like, Michael Jordan, shoot the ball, you fucking midget. Like, yeah. If Michael Jordan said that nowadays, he would probably fucking experience backlash from trash talking. Like, you can't say anything in this PC world without somebody getting pissed off when – I've been called the N-word. I've been called a faggot. I've been called anything that you can imagine while playing football. Prentice, I'm pretty sure you can feel the same.
Oh, hell yeah.
Marshall Henderson.
Yeah, Prentice, let's talk about it. So when dude called you Princess Jackson, were you ready to get several foul calls and take the Pumas out of the game?
Like, no, like I came on the field and the dude says, "Oh shit, here comes Princess Jackson." And I looked at him. I like stood there and I froze. I looked at him and I just started laughing. I'm like, the first thing I thought was, motherfucker, let's go. Like we about to battle. Like it wasn't no, let me. And the funny thing is about it, in that game, we got in the bottom of a pile and he whooped my ass. Like I think I made a tackle and I was at the very bottom and he was punching the shit out of me. I had to come out of play because I couldn't breathe. And then the very next series, I did the same thing back to him. But it wasn't no like it's cheap shots. I'm trying to ear hole a motherfucker in front of everybody and get ejected. Like that shit don't. That shit was crazy.
Motherfucker, go Princess Jack. What game was that?
That was Kentucky State.
Oh hell. Oh fuck. Yo, is that when we went there?
We went there, and to go back on that, we come out, we warm up, and this team is looking at us, and they called us pussies. While we're warming up, their whole team did some type of chant and then called us pussies, and we're like, okay.
That's when I got that cheap shot on the fucking punt return. I called for a fair catch, and the fucking gunner came down and just fucking laid me out.
Smoked your ass.
And like, bruh, like looking up for the ball wasn't even like close to fucking falling, and it just got laid out. And it, just like Josh Norman did, I wanted to knock that nigga out. I started putting any nigga that get a hand on number 8. Knock him the fuck out. So, I mean, just to get back to the original point, it's not that Josh Norman wasn't correct with how he... It's his job, man. Like, you can't say anything to anybody nowadays without anybody being upset. But Josh Norman did his job. He got in Odell Beckham's head mentally, and Odell Beckham reacted, and he played a shitty game. He had, what, one touchdown... About 70 yards, was it? I don't remember the stats, but he showed up in the fourth quarter on the last two drives, and that's really it.
Yeah.
So
now, I will say, the bat thing was stupid. I mean, what did Beckham think he was going to do? Bring the bat out and assault him on the
50-yard line? In front of everybody, yeah.
Yeah, that's stupid. We've seen the history of guys bringing out sludge hammers and
bats.
Well,
I think the whole bat thing is stupid to begin with. Like, what are you bringing the bats out there for? What's the point of that?
It's like when you was on Little Giants. And you did the antacid thing, Spike.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, there's no difference. There's really no difference at all. I don't get it, man. I mean, I know they're trying to use that as an excuse to kind of cover up Odell. Man, like I said, we've seen guys bring sledgehammers, baseball bats, all type of different shit on the field with them. Like,
I just want to I want to see how much Norman's going to be jawing when Carolina don't even win a playoff game.
And that brings us
–
That brings us to the next topic.
I'm just saying.
we're going to go ahead and move on. Mercury Morris is probably somewhere lurking around ESPN or somewhere. The Panthers are 14-0. The last time we had an undefeated team, the Patriots in 2007. Mercury Morris was going on and on and on and about how they're cheaters, blah, 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 blah. We're the only undefeated team. When does he pop out of the shadows and try to discredit the Panthers? Like the same way that we see the Bulls, Rodman, Pippen, the same way we see them trying to discredit the Warriors, when do we see those Dolphins from 72 come out?
After this week? Because if they win this week, you know, it's – the thing is I don't think anybody is afraid of that anymore once New England went all the way and then got to the Super Bowl and they lost. They understand mm-hmm. how hard of a feat it is. So we won't see Mercury Morris until probably the week of the Super Bowl if Carolina makes it, if they are undefeated. Like there's – I think, you know, he was scared of the regular season. There's been a team that's went 16-0. Now it's go 16-0 and win it all. And who gives a who gives a fuck?
Right. I'll
put the over-under at the end of the season should Carolina finish it undefeated.
What was that?
Well, I'm sorry, what was the question?
I'll put the over-under on when Mercury Morris pops his head out at the end of the season, should Carolina finish it undefeated.
Well, it's only...
I would say that he would probably... okay, let's say they run the table and they make it to the Super Bowl. You'll hear his voice during media week. You know what I mean? During that...
Oh, absolutely.
During that, the lead-up to the... But
let's,
the whole thing is just...
Let's do a prop bet.
Actually, you know what? You'll definitely hear it if...
Well, when I saw this that this topic was on the rundown, I checked out where Mercury Morris is nowadays, and he said right when they got to 12-0 that nobody would give a fuck if they pulled off an undefeated season. He said that like unless they, he said he tips their hat off to them. It's hard to get undefeated, let alone 12-0. But at the end of the day, he said nobody's gonna give a fuck. He said let them get past the 13th game, then ask them again if he think they're gonna have a perfect season. So we'll see.
Let's do a prop bet. Who do you think is going to – who you think – pick a Dolphin from 72. Who's going to talk first?
How many of them are even alive?
I mean, I know – Shula's still alive, dead? Right?
Shula's still around. Yeah.
Shula, Mercury – I'm trying to think of who was popping up during the Patriots.
Mercury Morris. It's always been him. Every time
it was, he wasn't Morris. The only one though.
There was more than Morris, yeah, though, wasn't he? Was the most outspoken?
He's,
but weren't
he's
there
always
more
the
than
ringleader
him?
When somebody's under
yeah. Feet. He wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
Right, but he's just the yeah. I mean, the whole thing is just it's a non-story to me. And you know, these media hacks got to be the ones that call him. You know, they're the one. Mercury Morris isn't, you know, opening his Twitter account and talking about it. Some asshole from one of these sites calls him up and says, "Hey, what's your
thoughts
on this team?"
I wish one
of
the assholes from our site would call Mercury Morris and get the scoop.
Well,
Schwab,
I mean,
that's
I,
your
hey,
job. Listen, I understand. No, it's not because I mean I understand wanting the publicity, but I would rather have Mercury Morris go away.
And on to that, Shane, hit us with your best bet for this week.
Did you see me last week, boys? Minnesota, I had a -5. I said the Bears were a dead-ass team in Minnesota coming off two. That was such an easy, you know, it's obviously, you can look back at a bet and say, oh, it was great, it was bad. That was an easy winner right there. So that moves me to 11-9 on the season for the Good If It Goes podcast best bets. All right, this week, and I would advise that you tread very lightly these last 2 weeks in the NFL because you just don't know what you're getting out of some of these dead teams. And, you know, a lot of them play each other. And, like, even, like, look at the Carolina-Atlanta game. That's a hard game to predict. Atlanta's dead, but you don't know. Are they going to give a max effort because they want to beat Carolina after, you know, last time's beating? I'm going to go to the Washington-Philadelphia game. I don't know why, but I'm starting to become a believer in this Washington team. They're at Philadelphia this Saturday night, and they're a 3-point underdog. I like Washington to win this game straight up. Kirk Cousins is playing well. And, you know, I think that he's going to be their guy going forward, even beyond this year. And that defense is playing well. And, you know, they're, you know, everybody rips the NFC East, and rightfully so, and I'm one of those people. But if there's an NFC East team at this point that looks the most complete to me that can win a playoff game, it's Washington. I'm not saying they're going to, but I think that they're going to win these next two games, and they're going to be the division winner. And I really like them to go into Philadelphia this Saturday night and win. So we're going to take Washington plus +3, and we're going to play them on the money line too. You should get it probably anywhere around plus +130, plus +135. That's one good bet.
And that's Shane's best bet of the week. He's at 11-9. He's on a 2-week win streak. We like that. You like that. You like that.
Like that?
And with that, we'll move on to the NBA. Not much for the NBA going this week except for on Christmas Day. Guys, we got 5 games on Christmas Day. Pelicans Heat, we're looking at the Bulls OKC rematch of the finals from last year. Golden State, Cleveland, San Antonio and Houston. And then the Clippers and the Lakers. Why the fuck are the Lakers on TV?
The Battle of L.A.
Why?
Kobe Bryant's last Christmas game.
Yeah, the jersey still says Lakers. Now, the quality of play coming from the guys in those jerseys? No, absolutely not. That should
more
not be on
Lakers,
Christmas. That,
more like the Fakers. Am I right?
Whoa. Zing.
Rim shot.
So what game? What,
you're not funny.
That's like coal in your stocking, that game.
What game are you guys?
You don't even have a fucking stocking, you fat fuck. Gothic people don't celebrate Christmas. Stop pretending like you do.
What game are you guys looking forward to on Christmas?
I mean, Cavs come on, Warriors. Guys. This is the easiest question. This is the easiest question Cavs you'll ever ask. It's the NBA Finals rematch.
Cavs Warriors.
I mean, do you really think that's going to be a game?
Yes, it's going to be good. You got Kyrie's back.
Kyrie just came back.
Yeah, it's going to be a fucking great game. Warriors will probably take it at home, but it'll probably go down to the wire. I think Warriors probably going to have the clutch on the game the whole time. The Cavs are probably hanging there the whole time. It'll probably be about a 5-6-point game, though. But it's going to be fun as hell. It's going to be right in the middle. After all the presents are open, all the disappointed kids who daddy didn't come home.
Yeah, see, I'm gonna steal a line here from Prentice, and he's said this many times, and I couldn't agree more. The NBA season starts every year on December 25th. And, Golden State and the Cavs, you never know what you're going to get from an NBA regular season game. But this is the game. This will, I look for games always that will give you the feel of a playoff game. You know what I mean? And this is one of them. You can't ask for a better Christmas game. Last year, it was the one that they hyped big time was the, I believe it was the Cavs and the Heat. LeBron's first game back in Miami. And now you've got the rematch of the finals. And I think what most people expect will be two teams that are going to be playing in the finals again. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. It's nice to see Kyrie Irving back. He obviously brings a big-time difference to the Cavs. Who wins the game? It's not, I don't know, and it's really not important, but it'll be good theater.
I mean, geez, these guys, on paper, the Spurs are going to fucking wash the Rockets. Kawhi is a fucking man.
Well, there's three teams in the NBA that have a chance to win it all, and that's it. It's Cleveland, Golden State, and San Antonio. Those are the only three teams. You cannot make a case for another team in the NBA. Don't even try, because I'll pick it apart.
Oklahoma?
No. Not a chance.
And I agree with you when you said it's two great players, one good player, and a team.
And then a bunch of bums. That's not getting past Golden State or San Antonio.
Teams with less talent have won, though.
Okay, but that this Oklahoma City team is not even close to built to be getting past the Spurs or Golden State in a 7-game series.
I think running and gun with Golden State, they'll give them a match. I don't think they can beat San Antonio in 7, but I think a Golden State matchup is more favorable for them.
I just think they're going to get exposed, Oklahoma City, in the playoffs when you need some of those other players to at least help you in some fashion, and they're bad.
That's true. It's 5 guys on the court, and if you only got 3 you can depend on, you're probably going to take L's, but I'm just not counting them out just yet. Cause
okay,
that star power is just, man, when them dudes are playing, they're really fucking good. But, I mean, you can say that about the other two teams. Too,
I mean, though, I've always been a firm believer of when the playoffs start, you know, all that shit about, you know, the depth and all this shit, you got to have a bench. Like, no, you don't. You got to have a solid 7-8. You roll with your 7-8. The other motherfuckers don't come off the bench. They don't play. You don't need them. And you, and,
yeah, they don't even got 7-8,
you got to score and you got to defend. And your 7-8 got to be the ones that do it. And when you got two of the players that are top five in the NBA, you have a chance.
Sure.
You have a chance against anybody. Now that changes when you have to play against a San Antonio and Kawhi Leonard's guarding KD, or you have to play a Golden State. You have to play a Golden State point. Or you got to chase Steph Curry and go score 35 as well. You know, that's when shit gets a little difficult. But I'm not going to write them off, but I think they have an outside shot to make a run.
And there's nobody in the East that challenges Cleveland. Oh, yeah, I mean, last year, remember, it was you saw Atlanta last year was
that was smoke and mirrors, man.
Right, and I think most people felt that, but that was definitely the team that people said, okay, if it's not going to be Cleveland, it's going to be Atlanta. Well, this year, if it's not going to be Cleveland, who's it going to be? Because you have a dead team in Chicago, and then your next few good teams are Miami, Atlanta, Toronto. I mean, come on. It's just crazy the balance of the NBA, and you know that shows on some of these Christmas Day games, because the best teams are as people want to say that the East has improved. Well, the best teams are still clearly in the West.
And there's a lot of parity in the East, sure, but short of Chicago making some serious moves or someone else,
God damn it,
or someone else just catching fire. Right now, that looks like Cleveland's
Cleveland control their own fate unless it's an injury, and you can't even say barring injury because they were injured last year and they still got to the fucking finals.
And this is a March Madness. You got
barring an injury to LeBron. Let's say barring an injury to LeBron.
Right. Okay. There you go.
Did you guys see the article today about Derrick Rose going down to the D?
I saw you post. I didn't read the article. I saw you post the screenshot of it. I don't know who wrote that. I mean, that's nobody is as critical of Derrick Rose myself, but that's just an absurd suggestion, and that would never happen. Who wrote that, by the way?
Some idiot at ESPN.
It was somebody from ESPN. I know that, yeah. You guys don't know who it was?
No, I didn't read it. I'll post it somewhere.
They're getting grievances aired towards them tomorrow.
Clickbait.
Yeah, that's
clickbait
journalism.
That's just
and ridiculous.
Get your clicks up.
Yeah, BuzzFeed thinks that's pretty
good. Get your clicks up. Prentice, we're going to go to you, man. We need a good blessing for the podcast before we break off and go be with our families. We want to know who dropped the church's money this week, but we also want you to say a little something nice for Christmas.
Yeah, man, give us something. We know you got Kwanzaa on Friday. Give us something.
You motherfucker. You know what? I'm going to get
emoji.
This
might be the podcast that gets us kicked off on iTunes.
Hold on. Isn't emoji one of the day?
I can tell you. I'm gonna tell a quick story before I get church's money. I went to the fucking post office today, and the lady asked me, "Hey, would you like some stamps?" I said, "Of course, I need some." And she's like, "Would you like some Christmas or some Charlie Brown stamps?" I said, "Absolutely." This bitch threw a fucking Kwanzaa stamp on my fucking letter, and I looked at her like, "You fucking bitch!" And I just took my letter, smiled, said "Merry Christmas," and went on my happy ass way.
Oh man.
Racism Kwanzaa is dead. Awesome.
That's fucked up.
Because they handed out Kwanzaa.
But, yeah, I'm going to get into who dropped the church's money. I had a few selections this week that almost made the cut. Duke basketball. I know you guys would have liked that. Kentucky basketball as well. Almost losing to Ohio State. Not much in the NFL this week, so... the title, who needs a little prayer this week, is Odell Beckham. You know, like I said, this guy is a fan favorite in the league. You know, he's entertaining. He puts on a show, and he put on the wrong type of show Sunday. He got frustrated. He got called, you know, homophobic slurs, and he couldn't handle it. And his true colors... like Josh Norman said, I think his true colors were exposed, and I hope he gets his Bible. You know, there's some verses in there for him. You know, he can correct these wrongs and he can go out there and praise the Lord, hallelujah. He can get back on his feet and get back to being his old self. He made the Pro Bowl, so congratulations to you, Odell Beckham. You've been blessed, but you need to redeem yourself. You dropped the church's money. Get back and have a better Sunday next week, brother.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Prentice, you got to go back to that post office and, like, a full dashiki. Just mess with that lady.
That's probably one of your worst ideas.
Bob, can you educate our listeners who may not know? What exactly is a dashiki?
It's like the traditional African dress.
Woo!
Are you saying that?
Isn't that what that guy from Next Friday wore when he went in a pinky shop and he couldn't get jiggy with that shit? That was that little African dude, right?
I really feel like an I Know Black People segment with Shane versus Schwab would be
I'd kill him.
I think that's what we'll
I'd destroy him.
We need
I think this will give you guys a week to brush up on your African American heritage. Schwab, you'll probably need 2 weeks, but we'll give you guys a week or
He's never even seen He Got Game. What the fuck does he know about anything?
That was just on today, too, on VH1. I fucking meant to say something about that. They playing it now.
So, speaking of movies, Schwab isn't a movie guy. So we're going to go, top 10 Christmas movies /TV shows. In the holiday spirit or the Christmas.
Is this a list or is this going to be on the podcast?
It'll be on the blog.
Okay. I mean, it's just something to discuss.
My bad. I must have missed one.
Kevin, grace us with your very gothic.
All right, I'm going second because I got a couple. Schwab, go ahead.
Let's see. My number one, Seinfeld, The Strike. Catch it tomorrow, 7:30, 6:30 Central, TBS. Festivus for the rest of us. Number two, I had 8 Crazy Nights. Number three, Charlie Brown Christmas. 4, A Christmas Story. 5, I had the Trailer Park Boys Christmas special. If you have Netflix, go watch that show. Number one recommendation. Number six is one a lot of people, I'm guessing, haven't heard of. It's a documentary called I Am Santa Claus, and it follows different guys that portray Santa Claus over the course of a year. Real interesting watch. Mick Foley's in it. Good movie. Family Guy, Christmas, number 7. The Office, Christmas Party, number 8. Simpsons, Roasting on an Open Fire, their pilot, number 9. And then number 10, a little bit left field with this one, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, A Very P.E. Christmas.
Oh, that was the one that was in left field.
Yeah, Master Shake dresses up as the guy from Public Enemy. Flavor Flav.
The guy from Public Enemy. Yeah, Shane, you're taking that easily.
See, I'm hip on my culture.
No, wouldn't say that, brother.
Shane, what do you got for us?
All right, well, number one is Die Hard.
Let's go.
You can't put it at number one.
Okay, number two is Home Alone. Number three is Bad Santa. Number four is Miracle on 69th Street. Number five is Naughty or Nice.
Wait.
Getting it twice.
Wait, what the fuck?
What did you say?
Number six. Number five is... Naughty or Nice, She's Getting It Twice.
No, he's out here listing pornos, isn't he?
way to be on the ball, Kevin.
Number six is Silent. Hold on, can I finish? Number six is Silent Night, Hardcore for the Holidays. Number seven is The Tits That Save Christmas. Number eight is Barely Legal Bitch That Stole Christmas. Number nine is All I Want for Christmas is a Teen. And number 10 is Little Christmas Tale.
You're the fucking Artie Lang of the podcast.
Mine. It's just a whole bunch of porn and Bad Santa and Die Hard and
We're tossing Shane's list pretty quick.
Mike,
first of all, I will
it's
say,
crazy because Die Hard and fucking what the fuck else did he say? Die Hard,
Bad Santa,
and what else? One more,
Home Alone,
Home
Alone, Die Hard and Home Alone could fucking be pouring too. Like, what the fuck?
That's crazy.
I'm just gonna write
Mike.
Shane forfeits his vote after
Mike. What's your
three.
List, man?
I mean, that was hilarious, but if we weren't 10. Off iTunes already, we are now.
Schwab, shut the fuck up.
Jesus Christ.
God damn it. No, it's going to be me now this week. God damn it. Shut the fuck up. All right, so 10, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. 9, Best Man Holiday. 8, This Christmas. 7, Bad Santa. 6, Elf. 5, Home Alone. And fucking Kevin McAllister had terrible parents. I just want to note that. They was rich too. Like, who the fuck travels? The whole family, the whole squad, got bags
right.
packed.
Even
for Christmas.
Paris too.
They even took the broke ass uncle.
Even took the broke ass cheap ass. You don't have to pay for shit.
Right.
And number 4, Friday After Next.
Oh yeah.
Number 3, It's a Wonderful Life. Number 2, Jingle All the Way, which I feel like they should have won an Oscar for like best on-screen duo.
Bruh.
Fucking Schwarzenegger and Simba.
The fucking the chase scene where they, I got a bomb. What sick person? Jingle All the Way on my list too, bro. You real?
Like, dog, that was the movie. So, and then number 1, man, Christmas Story, like the GOAT Christmas movie. And there you go.
No porn? How do you not have Miracle on 69th Street?
Man, I gotta change my... I got a bunch of shit missing on my list.
I was gonna put Booty Call 25
P-Jack.
On
P-Jack.
Ho, ho, ho.
I really...
Oh, yeah. Wait, was that the old Booty Talk series? That was like one of the first porns I got into. It was those black chicks. Those black chicks with the monster asses.
Shout out to Primo, because Primo keep you updated on the booty talks.
Hey, P-Jack, laughing like he ain't used to be a dirtbag like y'all.
Right?
That was when I first started jerking off, was those booty
what
talk
the
videos.
Fuck is happening?
Yeah. You get Kaza. I had the whole fucking booty talk collection on Kaza.
Yeah, dude, that shit was fire.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Please,
though. Shout out Cherokee the ass.
For the love of baby Jesus. Please stop.
This is a Christmas show.
Jeez. From Christmas to porn to Christmas.
Oh,
Prentice, bless us with your list.
I don't necessarily have a top 10 because I don't really give a shit about either of that, but I can name some shit that I think is funny. I loved Home Alone 1 and 2. Friday After Next. Trading Places. I don't know how the fuck y'all forgot about Trading Places.
Ah,
man, that's what's up.
Shit. Jamie Foxx episode when they had to repeat Christmas Eve like 100
Christmas
times.
Christmas Deja Vu. That's on my list too.
That shit was hilarious.
Hey Sheila.
The Wayne and Bros when they got fucking robbed on Christmas. That shit was hilarious. That's all I got, man. That's all I can really think of. Oh, Bad Santa, Elf. I love Elf. Bad Santa's fucking hilarious. That's it, man. That's all I got.
We'll finish it.
Schwab probably looked like the kid from Bad Santa when he was like,
I was watching that shit last week when we were doing the podcast, and that's exactly who I thought of.
And Quan looked like the elf, man.
These lips
we can recreate that whole movie with the Good If It Goes podcast.
Well, you definitely Billy Bob Thornton, motherfucker.
Shit.
I'm gonna at 10 I got Elf. 9, It's a Wonderful Life. I want to put A Christmas Story right there. I definitely don't like It's a Wonderful Life. I just ran out of shit. 8, Crazy Nights at number 8. Number 7, Jamie Foxx, Christmas Deja Vu. Hey, Sheila.
Hey, it's Sheila. Sheila.
Number 6, the Fresh Prince episode, Twas the Night Before the Christening, when Boyz II Men was on there.
Oh, yeah, that was dope.
This Christmas at number 5, Home Alone 2, Home Alone. Am I missing one? Jingle All the Way at number 2. And then Bad Santa with an honorable mention to Die Hard and everything else you guys named. That was our Christmas list. Guys, what are you? We'll wrap it up this week. What are some of your favorite Christmas traditions that you do with your family?
I'll go. Just lately, it's been these NBA games, man. Everybody pretty much be ready to eat and shit. So usually the Bulls play. So this year we'll probably be wallowing around dinner time from a loss to the fucking Thunder. So not really excited for that. And yeah, that's about it. Being a Bulls fan on NBA Christmas Day. It's gonna suck this year because our team's in fucking disarray.
No, but they show up against the good team, so there's a
chance. Oh, shut the fuck up, you fat piece of shit.
Yeah, they do, but they have a 3-game losing streak right now. Yeah, Schwab, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, my
man.
Christmas tradition's gonna be following the tradition of Snotty and that guy last year. I'm gonna drive out and deliver a fade to Shane. How about that?
Oh shit!
I missed that. What did he say?
Wow. Do you even have your driver's license?
God damn it. I got to listen back to it.
He said he's going to drive out to fade me like that snotty dude in that. I forgot the Temecula. Dude's name from Temecula. Yeah, I forgot. What was that dude's name?
My tweet's real on Twitter.
My tweet's real as fuck.
Was that Christmas last year?
Yeah, that. Yeah, it was Christmas Day.
Christmas last year.
That was one of the most legendary times on Twitter ever. But yeah, Schwab just said. So Schwab, what's your real Christmas tradition? Because this ought to be good. I want to know what kind of gothic shit you do. You put the lipstick on, everything. what you hang? You wait outside
really,
the church
I
with
really
your shank. I mean, what do you do? No, tell us. Joke's over. Go ahead.
Honestly, not a whole lot lately. Unfortunately, some family members have either passed away or they live far away in the first place. So lately it's been the last couple of years a Christmas tradition with some of my friends where Christmas night we have an NBA Jam tournament.
Okay.
So, ooh.
I don't know if we do that this year.
That's lit.
We'll be sure to inform the listeners how that goes. Usually I finish either last or second
to
last.
Is there any drinking involved in this? Is anybody drinking?
No. They're all straight edge.
I'm not. Pretty much everyone else is drunk. So
is there any bitches
I mean, it's a bit of a.
Come on, let's not get crazy here.
You just asked.
Well, I mean, they try to, but it's a hard sell trying to tell girls, "Hey, come over and watch a bunch of drunk idiots try to play NBA Jam." I feel like if the tournament started later in the night, I would do better because everyone else is usually pretty hammered. So,
see, I feel like you had that's like the right idea. That's like a perfect setup. The only problem is your execution, like you and your dork friends. It probably just doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't go the way it should, but that's a hell of an idea.
Did you put pussy on your Christmas list? Serious question.
No, I limited it to realistic things.
Well, what Christmas list is realistic? No Christmas list is ever realistic. I mean, fuck. So yeah, why wouldn't you put pussy on your Christmas list?
We're going to all put up $10. It's going to take $10. Us four, we're going to put up fucking $10.
Okay. I'll throw in 20.
I would honestly throw in $50.
All right,
to
so
get him a decent prostitute for him to fuck.
We're going to go on Backpage. I'm going to get you. You like black chicks, Kevin?
What is you?
The question is, what are you doing? I have a serious podcast question, Kevin.
This is a Christmas episode.
Are you saving yourself for marriage, or you just haven't been able to get pussy?
Later. Okay.
Oh right, my God!
I mean, you're a real man.
Schwab. How many times have you typed in ebony in the Pornhub search? Because we all have. I do it all the time.
Are you getting this motherfucker quiet?
I have it.
Well, we know that. Schwab, ebony. It's. All right, this just got out of control. Mike or Prentice, what do you do on
the next list? We should do Schwab is top 10 porn categories. Let's do that. Let's see what everybody's thinking. We're gonna have to get some special guests from the timeline too. Like I want to see like Jake's. I know this shit probably like off the fucking wall.
What in the fuck is happening to Christmas?
It's probably like BBW bondage.
Prentice.
All right, Prentice, what do you do on
SSBBW?
I don't really have a tradition, man. It changes up from time to time. You know, me and my lady have some children, so they're either here with us or they're not. They're with their father, so where they're opening up gifts early in the morning and hanging out, chilling, seeing them open new toys or just with family. So,
just all right. So, like, so okay. Since you have you
basketball games, regardless of where I'm at.
All right. So since you're there's kids there and you're clearly fat enough.
Do you play?
Do you get into a Santa? Do you get into a Santa outfit every year?
Like, do you put on the okay Santa fit on you?
I mean, I figure it's nice and it's I figure it's easy for you.
Santa
is
not black, Shane.
Well, that depends on who you ask.
No. It's no. He's white.
Shane, I'm gonna kick your ass.
If a white if a black man came into your house unannounced and uninvited, he would be dead.
I the racial
Black
tension
Lives
on this
Matter.
Jesus.
Bitch.
All right, Quan, what do you do on? Oh wait, no, I remember what Quan does. He
if this
is
an elf joke. I'm gonna kick your fucking ass.
No, you dress up. They have. I think you have some tradition where you guys wear like weird pajamas, and that was you last year, wasn't it?
Oh, that's her. That's her family.
Oh, when us.
Okay, well now that you're part of the family,
well, yeah,
and you're here
yeah, I guess that,
for that time. What's the tradition this year?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the tradition is. I just fucking go to her house and be the black guy that takes the pictures.
This nigga gonna be leading all the lion dances and shit. They gonna play the wobble, and he gonna
you know what?
He gonna fucking,
I swear to God, the next nigga that called me out on my black. You want a nigga? Nigga here now. You ever heard of Rolling 60s, nigga? Since I was 16, nigga.
Quan gonna help Frosty. Him season the chicken.
Frosty. Fucking Spoon. We fuck doors in the ass, nigga.
Jesus.
Yeah. Nobody wanna respond to that. And with that, our fucking time is up on the podcast. Catch us next week for the end of the year, New Year extravaganza. The podcast has existed for about 14 to 15 weeks. So we'll celebrate all the great moments and every time everybody told Schwab to shut the fuck up. This is the end of the Christmas Good Podcast. Have a happy holidays, folks. Get fat and stay black. Good if it goes.